This is the Nick and Jules podcast.
Hello. It's another podcast. It's another day. Up top, join the Nick and Jules inner circle. Go do it right now. There's chances to score tickets to the Nick and Jules comedy cruise.
Yes, Thursday night, October 19, Mildura. Be there, be square, be on a boat.
Do we have any?
Not the tagline.
Be there, be square, be on a boat. Pretty cool. Pretty cool for a boat party. You know, a party, the level, the quality of it is really raised by its location. I think a boat might be the premier place to host a party.
Have you been on a boat party before?
Oh. Sort of.
Yeah. How do you sort of be on one?
Well, I don't know if
half
it was
half your body?
I don't know if it was explicitly supposed to be party, but it ended up being party.
Oh. Like a civilized boat trip and then.
Well, so when I went backpacking through Vietnam post uni, I must have been 21 or so with a friend. Actually with Lachlan, who we've had on the show and X, Y, and Z, and we booked I thought what I was booking was a booze sort of like, you know, booze cruise style with other backpackers through Ha Long Bay. What it turned out is I had accidentally booked a honeymoon package.
Oh, jeez.
For me and Locke.
Great.
And so now, and how's this for, I guess, the first and only time I think that, I guess, a little bit of homophobia is beneficial.
Oh, no.
Is because the company was like, sorry, we noticed it was you and, like, Lachlan McKay and, you know, and you're both men. Did you mean to book the honeymoon package? And I went, how dare you assume, but also, no, I didn't.
What was the romanticism about it?
I think it was just you on the boat and then like the boat staff. So it was like a private boat and then so like private chefs and stuff.
Nice.
That's cool for a honeymoon.
Absolutely.
But like not really party. Did you get that element?
In the end, no. So because they wouldn't refund, but they would like transfer to another less honeymoony thing. So we went on a fairly nice cruise boat thing for a couple of nights. And it was less there was some, I think it was like a couple of younger people, but it was like,
there was company. It wasn't a private one.
No, there probably maybe would have been like maybe 16 of us. And it was like, you know, a couple of, you know, families and parents. And it wasn't a party vibe, but it was, you know, it was better than a honeymoon vibe, I suppose.
Interesting.
Yes.
And
party there would have been better. I look back on it because I was a timid 21-year-old, and I just don't think I made the most of boat party at the time. You know, I was freshly single, afraid to talk to women, and you know, men was I was on the fence with talking to them in general as well. So I definitely wasn't doing enough socializing.
Were you talking to dogs?
If they were ugly, I couldn't talk to.
If you're unattractive, I was there.
I couldn't talk to a hot dog. Could not talk to a hot dog.
Oh,
But now in my prime, I'm ready to enjoy a boat party. I'm ready to socialize with everyone that comes along to Nick and Jules' comedy cruise.
Excellent. I love that.
I think it's going to be a heck of a night.
Yeah.
I am genuinely quite fearful for the Friday morning show afterwards.
Yeah, honestly, same.
Because we when we did the Trammed Up comedy, if listeners might recall, this is some months back in July.
Oh, we were wrecked.
It was very tired. Well, we were tired anyway.
Yes, after the travel and whatnot.
After the travel, because we did the travel on the one day and then did the night. And then we went out with some listeners and then just went out with friends that had come out that night as well.
Yeah.
So it ended up being a later night and then also a lot more drinking than there tends to be on a regular weeknight for us.
Yes.
So I didn't feel great the next morning. But
very,
you know,
much so passed out.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, you do I'm happy to sacrifice. You know, because I'm like, this will be a one fun night for one rough morning. That's a fair trade because we don't do it all that often. If it was every Thursday night.
Oh, my goodness.
If it was every Thursday night
we
got
not be doing that.
Blitzed on a boat, I probably would go, let's reevaluate this segment.
Why is this in our contracts?
Yeah. So I think I think it'll be a fun time.
So brace yourselves for chaos potentially on the Friday morning, but also fun times on the Thursday night.
I'll bring no-dos. We'll be all right.
Oh, yeah.
I would prefer to sleep.
Oh, okay. So melatonin for her.
Do you mean in the morning?
Post boat. Yeah. I would like to sleep for the small window we get afterwards.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
But also, like the next day, you know, we've got to be up. We're traveling.
I reckon you'll get. This is my estimate. I reckon we'll get 4 hours of sleep that night. That's my guess.
Okay.
Because I reckon what happens is I reckon we boat. I don't know how long we're boating for. I think it's a couple of hours.
We'll find out from the big boss.
I believe it's about 2 and a bit hours.
Okay.
Ish, like at sea, so to speak. And then I imagine the vibe. I hope this is what the vibe is, which is, hey, we're going to go to the pub with any listeners if they want to come. you know, that, and then we, you know, kick on from there a little bit. And yeah, then right. the night may take us wherever the night takes us.
Yes.
I hope we make some best friends in Mildura.
Aww. Best friends?
I can't remember anyone from the night from Trammed Up Comedy.
That was a blur to me. I don't even know how long it went for, like any of that.
I remember the
It was memorable.
Like in a nice way, in the nicest way.
It was.
Went so fast.
It was a very, and I don't know if this is just because the night, and we've said this off air and in the planning stage of this event, but like I was very conscious of, Trammed Up was very me focused.
Uh-huh.
Mm. And so like I had a very fun time because of that and because it was the stand up. But I think it was just fun in general to an extent.
It was.
Right? Like
yeah.
It was a good time.
Did you feel nervous having to, like that night because you had to get up and perform?
Yeah, I mean in general, I think, depending on what style of performance or public stuff we do, like for us, we're emceeing the comedy cruise,
yes.
Which doesn't, that doesn't faze me in the slightest because that's just us being us.
We're not reliant to provide the comedy.
Not really. And like, because I've written some jokes and I'll probably try and like weave them in where possible.
Nautical theme?
Potentially. Yes.
There is that one joke that one of the listeners said you needed to finish about
the
house you were conceived in.
Okay. That's so interesting because I actually don't know if there was a punchline to that. I think it was just literally like.
It was just, hey, that's the house I was conceived in.
I spoke about, yeah, I was like, that's where.
Oh, go on a tour.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think maybe I spoke about how, you know, it's not like on the must, it's not on TripAdvisor's top 10 things for Bendigo and,
yeah, right.
You know, there's not a plaque there.
No. Mm-hmm.
Which then might, I don't know, I assume there's not.
We can go
not.
Check
we
if
can
you
check.
Like.
Bendigo listeners, please verify that for us.
The next day, post-comedy cruise, we'll go back to Bendigo and we'll check.
Oh, gosh.
What an adventure.
I hope.
No dose that day.
No dose that
actually,
day,
speaking
sure.
of, you know, very hyper-specific comedy, do either of you follow, I don't know if you went on to follow him on Instagram, Jules, Ruben Solo?
Yeah.
Ruben? So did you see his posts over the last couple of days?
No.
So he's gotten around to, because we filmed a good chunk of Trammed Up Comedy, and he filmed his sets. He bought like a guy to do a bit of filming for him.
He had his crew.
Wow. It was one guy.
One guy, but it was crew.
And it turns out it's his writing partner, which makes me go, I wonder how much of Ruben's content he writes himself versus splits.
Right.
It's interesting. I don't really know, but whatever works for him. It's, you know, it's obviously a good partnership. But he started posting videos of Trammed Up Comedy.
Yeah,
so I see.
So he started reposting.
Ago,
yeah, started reposting some of the tram nights. And so that, I was like, that's cool. Would have loved a tag, but that's fine.
Are you in this video that I'm currently watching without sound?
I don't think so.
No.
It's not.
I think
important.
It's the one that you showed me the other
It's
day.
Just snippets of him doing some of his tram specific jokes.
Yes,
I love trams.
But he did post to his Instagram his story. Just him being like, here's me just quickly addressing the tram content. And he did the bit because I guess everyone was like, why are you performing on a tram?
Yep.
Which is a fair enough question, I think, generally. And so he was like, the closest thing that our show got to a mention was a radio stunt. And I was like, that's fine.
Guess we'll take that.
That's all right. And you take what you can get. It didn't mention the show or either of us or
Nick Sebu.
To be fair, the two bits that he put up were probably the most well-received bits because he would have done, what do you reckon, he did like 15 minutes?
I think so.
He maybe did 50. He did as probably just as long as I did. I think I did 15-ish. And then but I think he kind of bombed a little bit, unfortunately.
Well, a lot of the the audio stuff that he needed wasn't playing out.
Oh.
Yes.
Which I go because he
really has to improvise there.
Technical difficulties. Mm.
Yeah, which my thought from a performance aspect is because he asked in advance and we would explicitly said to him, I was like, I think you'll have something, but also it's very likely that it might not be good.
Yeah.
Like, how good could the audiovisual setup on a tram be?
Yeah.
So I'm like, don't have your entire comedy rely on audio props.
No. Like, have a backup plan.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that was kind of questionable, but it was, you know, it was funny. And, you know, I wonder, I hope, I don't know if we'd ever ask this, but if the comedian's coming, I hope there is some level of, you know, boat specific, some nautical themes.
Oh, right.
Mm. So we've got. Can we, I mean, we'll say this on the podcast, we'll talk about it on the show probably next week, but so the comedians that we've got coming along include Emily Tressida, who listeners
back by
would
popular
know
demand.
As, yes, who was Jules' replacement.
Yes.
We've got a guy called Zach Dyer, who I didn't think I knew, but I've seen him floating around and I think some of the bits are pretty funny. The third person, I don't know. So it's a mystery even for us. Like, we know who it is, we just don't know I can't remember their name. So I suppose it's less
we'll get the official lineup, you know. We'll put it out next week.
Yes.
It'll be so exciting.
That's why you have producer Aaliyah along.
That's
to
right. I knew we
hired you for a reason.
Yeah, I know. Thanks, guys.
Mm. is there any other business we wanted to touch on here?
I just want to say I'm a bit worried. I get seasick.
Do you really?
I've got tablets for that.
I'll have to have some ginger tablets.
If it helps, I think it's technically not the sea.
Yes. I mean, it says cruise, and cruises are generally more chill, not as rocky.
Yes.
I've forgot the word wave, like the ocean wave for a second in English. For 2 seconds,
give
I don't know
us
why.
In not English.
Arlon.
Beautiful.
It's in Philo. Nice. Yeah, I was just like, oh, like, is it going to be super wavy? But who knows? Choppy? We'll see.
Turbulence?
You might just,
will we get nautical turbulence?
You might just see me on the side, just, you know, having a shit time.
I was on a number of like boats over in Europe, and I took.
Did you go to Europe?
Yeah, I did.
Get them.
Yeah.
Got them.
And whatever I took clearly had something in it that also makes you quite drowsy.
Oh.
So, yeah.
So if you see me,
fell asleep at 9 a.m. a few times.
Actually, so I think, I don't know, this is me not knowing medicine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So as a heads up. But I'm pretty certain that the sleepiness, because you're. The whatever pill you took or whatever it was, it affects how your ears. It's something to do with like your ears,
the imbalance in your brain.
I think I think it's your ears that help you keep balance.
Yeah,
weirdly, and I think if that there's some connection between your ears and that like equilibrium thing, and then that causing drowsiness.
Yeah.
So I guess if it tries to cancel the equilibrium, like in how you can feel balance, there is that likelihood that it's also messing with your body going. Like, oh, maybe we're lying down. And then your body's like, well, if your body tricks itself into thinking we're lying down, maybe it's
sleep
like
time.
Maybe. That would be my guess.
Mm. Well, we either have fallen asleep, Jules, or we have seasick Jules. So pick your fighter.
What you and I are just going to be on the side, either drowsy or seasick.
So, Nick,
are going to be carrying.
No. The PSA at the start where we say welcome, you know, make sure you have your floaters, everything.
Yep.
Well, a lot of it will be aimed at myself. Maybe to listen to.
Maybe I should just wear. No, I was like, maybe I'll just wear floaties.
But well, that's what
I'm
I was
like.
Does
actually, is that actually going to help me with anything?
You might.
Don't know.
It would help. It certainly help with your seasickness. It'll help if you if you fall over. Certainly. Next on tomorrow's podcast, we should do some planning about what we want the attire to be for us three.
Ah, yes.
Oh.
So many options.
Yeah.
God, we've got a plan.
Because
it's a Thursday, not a Wednesday, so I won't be wearing any pink.
Well, right. And I think pirate. Which I think that'd be quite a bad colour for pirates.
Pink pirate. What about the nautical hats? I like to wear one of them.
Ooh. What do you consider to be a nautical hat?
Okay. I went to Europe, and in Venice, they had this hat.
Yeah.
Like the white and navy.
Oh, yeah.
With the little anchors, symbols. You've seen them before, surely. You could find them in gift shops, I guarantee.
Okay, so either maybe we should put up a poll on the inner circle and just be like, do we dress up as pirates or do we go full nautical captain theme?
I would like them to suggest all themes.
Okay,
all clothing, costume themes.
All right, so join the Nick and Jules inner circle. Mm-hmm. We're going to put up a...
That's exactly it.
Yeah, okay.
I'm the captain now.
We'll put up a post or a poll for everyone to take part in. Tell us what you want us to be wearing.
Mm.
Maybe I could dress as. I'm just going to quickly go back through my Instagram and try and find a video, a picture of. I once.
Some inspo stage.
Oh my gosh. Were you dressed as. What's his name?
Back in the day? What did
No,
you
it's
do?
Fine. I'll
no,
just
no,
wait.
Take your guess. I'm interested in what did I dress as?
Captain Jack Sparrow
no,
was going to
no,
be
no,
my
no,
question. Because
no, 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 no.
You would have looked cool with dreads, bruh.
we assume. This is this
that
next picture that I'll show you, and maybe I don't know. Maybe we can put it in the inner
we can
circle.
Put a link.
Yep.
In the show notes.
Yep. To Nick's personal Instagram.
Yeah. Just in case anyone wants to follow it's Nick. Nick is a celebrity. Okay.
We did put up at an old show that I did. We attempted to do recreate the door scene. From,
oh my god.
From, the Titanic.
Do you want to bring the door? Have you still got the door on hand?
No, the door fell apart in the ocean. So
is that you standing or
it's
you?
Me standing.
Okay. And why is your friend on his knees?
I don't know. I guess he was. We had actually just been battling the ocean. It was actually really physically tiring.
Oh.
So it's a picture of me, another guy, Hayden, and myself, and the door, and which we took out to the ocean. We went and got the door from like a tip shop.
Great.
Oh, nice.
And we were like, how possible would it be for two people to actually get on this door?
Science. Oh, my gosh. I love science,
and
Nick.
The actual answer is pretty bloody difficult because most doors in Australia, with the doors, well, yes, they do open, but they're also made of chipboard. So they're not like a thick oak. So because they're made of chipboard, they're just a sponge.
Oh.
So we got out there and it kept like it would sink, and then after a while it was just falling apart. So we were just like floating around in the ocean with a bunch of just like shards of wood flying at our faces because it was waves and
Did
stuff.
Did someone film this at least?
Damn.
So do you know Tim Fowler?
Yep.
Yeah.
No, that's not the name he goes by.
Different guy. Tim. There's another guy, another radio dude called Tim Fowler. Mm-hmm. He used to be was local content director.
Yes.
Mm. I think now he maybe works out of Bega. I'm not really sure. Yeah. Nice enough guy, but as a content director. We went to the beach with him that bit for content because he was always keen on us pushing for content. And he had some nice ideas. Yeah.
That's it.
And he had a drone, and so he was filming with a drone. And so then while we were like, this is going to be an incredible video. This is like early us doing this show. I was like, this is going to be awesome.
Mm.
And then something happened to the drone and it started like freaking out midair.
Oh.
And then it went like, meow, 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 and then plummeted straight into the water.
Shit.
And so we went and fished it out. And as we're holding it, the battery exploded under the water.
Oh, shoot.
And so we're like, what about the footage though? Yeah, I don't know, man. I feel like the entire thing didn't survive. Probably
no. How symbolic.
Yeah, it's the Titanic. Titanic of drones.
Rest in peace, Emma. Right. Should I get a drone?
So
I think
I can claim it on work.
From a legal perspective, you wouldn't be allowed to fly it. But
yeah.
And I think
get a drone license.
I think
can I get one of those in 2 weeks?
You certainly could, but
that'd
the thing
be
is,
sick.
It might be cost a bit to get the drone, cost a bit to get the permit, cost a bit. You don't need a license, you need the permit.
If anyone in Mildura has a drone and a permit.
And because we're commercial, it would be expensive.
True. Free tickets. I mean, everyone gets free tickets, but you get the most free tickets.
You get the most free tickets.
The freest of
and
tickets.
And a crisp high five.
Yeah. No guarantees.
Don't know about that.
That might blow budget a little bit. All right, that's the podcast. Nick and Jules, The Inner Circle, if you want to join that and get yourself potential tickets to the Comedy Cruise and some exclusive ticket giveaways next week, plus some behind-the-scenes content. Otherwise, we'll see you tomorrow, everyone.
Bye-bye.
And on 131060, we're asking, do you have somebody's name tattooed on you? Oh, woman up on the Gold Coast has gone and allowed a man that she met for 20 minutes, they had a chat, to get her name tattooed on his wrist.
Seems very quick. She is an OnlyFans content creator, yes. And in exchange for him doing the tattoo, he'll get a lifetime supply of content.
Now, I've met some attractive people in my life.
Mm-hmm. And you just thought, I need to get their name down. What was your name again?
Well, I mean, I'm going out on Saturday night after a soccer presentation. Do I use that as a move? Hey, I'll get your name.
My body is fresh.
I'll get your name tattooed on me if we can make this happen. This is my guarantee
to
you.
God.
I don't have any tattoos, but there are people out there with tattoos and the names specifically. Mm. It's a big bit of commitment because there's usually meaning of some description behind it.
It's really sweet. Maybe they've passed away. Maybe they're the long-term, but who's to say what it is for you?
Let's hit the phones right now on 131060 to Mildura with Charlotte. Have you got someone's name tattooed on you?
Not a name, but an initial. When I was 21, I was engaged.
Okay.
And I thought it was a really great idea to get his initial on my wrist.
The fiancé?
On my left hand.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And a few months later, we broke up.
Okay,
no.
Sure.
2 months after we broke up, I found my then husband, my now husband.
Yeah.
And 2 months after that, we got pregnant with our first child.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, Charlotte, married. You don't do anything by halves, do you?
Absolutely not. It's become a bit of a running joke in the family now, like, oh, just go and get someone tattooed on your body. And
that's fair. Well, it's obviously, it's worked out quite well for you, Charlotte. What's the initial that's on you?
And
okay. your current husband, or well, so hopefully your then husband, it doesn't start with R?
No, he's a B.
Okay.
Are they kind of is similar?
Just change it to a B. I even went into a tattoo artist and was like, is it something we could change to a B? And then she was like, you might need to get it lasered so we can do that. And I was like, that's just more work for me. I'm not going to do that.
I mean, it's a good story, Charlotte, so long as you don't get your current husband tattooed, because that would be a bad omen, I suppose.
Well, yeah, honestly,
I think so.
Everyone
I think
you get tattooed, you break up with. Charlotte, what is the first letter of your child's name?
Well, when we were pregnant, we were like, maybe we could just call. We were toying with the name Riley.
Okay.
But we didn't. We ended up having two girls, and no R names came out of it.
Oh no!
You know, well, congratulations on obviously everything working out in the grand scheme, and also fingers crossed that down the track you have someone in your life of significance with the name starting with R. All right.
Maybe. Thank you.
I don't know if I would ever be game enough to do that.
No.
I've experienced love once or twice in my life and I've never thought, well, you know what she deserves is her name on my body.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I haven't had it intense enough of a love yet, though.
No, we haven't updated our Facebook statuses yet.
Well, that's true. Got to figure it. Yeah, I don't know if I've ever done that, but that's a quandary for another day. Keep those calls coming in right now, 131060, if you've got someone's name tattooed on you. To Shepparton right now, we've got Jonathan who's giving us a buzz, mate. You've got someone's name tattooed on you?
Yes, I have. My ex-wife's name.
All right.
Oh, all right.
Ex-wife. A wife of how long, Jonathan?
Well, I think we're close to just under 20 years of being together, but mm-hmm. yeah, probably a little bit shorter than that of being married. But yes, it was my wedding present to her.
Oh, okay.
Oh man, that's so sweet. So what's the situation now? Are you in the dating game? Are you with someone now?
Oh no, in the dating game, been with someone and she didn't think it was too bad because it's the, you know, mother of my son. So
that's all right. That's okay.
That's allowed.
But waking up next to someone and you see someone else's name tattooed on someone, it's a little bit weird. But
yeah.
Talk us through the tattoo, Jonathan. Like, what does it look like?
So it's just turned, it's old school, done in a tattoo place in Richmond that their quote is, "We tattooed your grandfather."
Okay.
And so it's just a nice little scroll with her name across it with a heart behind it all.
Oh,
so,
romantic.
Very, it's, you know, yes. Nice and classy. And honestly, was it a well-received gift at the time, Jonathan?
It was, but it wasn't, but it was sort of like, oh yeah, but you know, but the thing that got me is when the tattooist had finished, he's gone, "Look, mate, if it goes pear-shaped, we can put a dagger through there, snake through there." I'm like, "Mate, you've just finished it and you already want to redesign." He goes,
"Look, they're prepared."
Yeah, you'd be surprised at how many people come back. So I'm like, oh yeah, great. Doing me from the start.
Oh, Jonathan, thanks for the call, mate.
Hey, not a problem, guys. Keep up the good work.
There's always the talk about what's the next big thing when it comes to like a food, a dining experience. Everyone's trying to level up, come up with the Shark Tank idea of what's going to get people's attention.
True.
And we've heard of the KFC dining experience.
Did someone say KFC? I don't care.
Yes, KFC have been at their best for a little while now.
Oh, you remember this? It was like a sit-down fine dining menu where they had like the supercharged wings and the potato and gravy and like the mousse, like in a full restaurant situation.
I guess I've never heard of or thought about KFC in any sense other than having it in the back of someone's car whilst I'm clinging to life after a night of drinking.
Right. Well, think of it reimagined, because if you think
okay.
that fine dining, candlelit KFC without all the buckets, without all the packaging is insane. Try this, a KFC nightclub. Now, there's a DJ that has teamed up with KFC. Sure, I guess he wants to promote his music. You come along, you enjoy the sliders, and you have a bite on the D floor.
Is the DJ someone we would know?
Is it like DJ Lude?
Nah.
Don't think we play him right on the station just yet.
No.
But why have we thought of this concept before? Everyone gets a little peckish at sometimes on a night out.
True,
why do we have to go to the kebab store, to wherever, and then that's the end of the night? Why don't we have a pick-me-up in the middle of the night? I do like this concept, though, that's kind of like underground. You have to get a text from the organisers to find out the location 48 hours before.
So it's not you can't just walk in. You can't plan to go to this place, can you?
You literally have to walk through a fridge to get to this underground place.
Oh, which is it? When did a cool for a bar become, it's hidden behind a door?
Yeah, you have to find the Mountain Dew and the Solo and make sure you rejig everything in the dessert fridge through there.
It's an escape room.
Yes.
Is what it is.
Or better yet, make your entry like you have to sit through a drive through at KFC, peak hour, Friday lunch, through all the tradies, through all Smoko to get your entry fee.
I don't know. I feel like if I was at a KFC nightclub, when I'm dancing, I'm sweaty as it is.
Oh, no.
I don't need to introduce grease to the mix.
The spicy ones, have you?
I would. Actually, to be fair, whenever I am dancing, it probably does look like I've just consumed a bunch of KFC. He's drenched in grease. I don't know where this has come from. He's red in the face and everyone's trying to avoid it. And everybody loves their dogs.
Man's best friend.
Yeah, we love him here on the station. I have my little dog, Eleanor, whom I love. You know, everyone has got a dog in their life generally that they, you know, enjoy the company of. Why wouldn't you?
Exactly.
You know, the President of the United States of America is no different.
Very patriotic.
Sleepy Joe Biden.
Mm.
He has a German Shepherd.
Oh, sweet. Very smart breed of dog, I believe. Oh,
incredibly so. He has a German Shepherd. His name is Commander. How patriotic.
Mm.
And Joe
is that
loves
his birth name, the dog?
Commander?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Or do they get a certain status?
Show me this president's dog's birth certificate.
Yeah, yeah. Or do they get renamed once they become the president's dog?
I assume that Joe's had it for a while. I assume he didn't inherit. It's not like it was just hanging out at the White House and he inherited it with presidency. But Joe loves his dog. Yeah. The rest of his staff do not love Joe's dog.
Oh, they're dog haters, are they? Did something happen to them as a child?
Well, here's the thing. It turns out that Joe Biden's dog is a bit of an asshole.
No, not Commander.
Commander, as it turns out, loves attacking Joe Biden's staff.
No.
Yeah, he's gone on record, Commander, as having bitten members of the groundskeeping staff. Superintendent Dale Haney. This was a few weeks back. Oh. He's also bitten members of his Secret Service detail.
What?
Yeah.
They're supposed to protect you, mate.
Well, I suppose in a way he is protecting the president, but it's...
In a weird way, just biting the hand that probably feeds him. That's...
Do you think that Joe Biden feeds his own dog, or do you think it's a Secret Service task?
No, he's biting the, I don't know, the butler I assume that Joe Biden has. But if you compare it to more, I don't know, like other dogs of note.
Other dogs of authority.
Authority, you think of the Queen and her corgis. They probably have a good relationship.
Well, you would think so. I assume that it looked like from the outside looking in that they had a great relationship. That they looked like the corgis never attacked anyone, but the Queen is dead. So, they didn't do a very good job protecting, did they?
That was the Nick and Jules podcast.